from daddy's old LGO.
Morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, March 27, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. Couple of things before we jump in. Emma Gonzalez in the Constitution. I talked about that image yesterday. Apparently that was photoshopped. I'm not convinced that that's not a put-up job, but whatever. I will apologize for saying that. That image is specious and apparently was circulated by some folks. Anyway, I think it's a put-up job, but I'll just apologize for talking about the Emma Gonzalez tearing up the Constitution image yesterday. David Hogg, there's the David Hogg controversy as a result of articles being published yesterday. David Hogg was at home during the Parkland shooting is sort of the theme of a number of these articles. The Columbian Post is one of the articles that has the update or the correction that reads, after being supplied with further information from CBS via the Washington Examiner's inquiry, it has come to our attention that CBS released the video segment out of context. Hogg was referring to returning to his school that night to interview witnesses again. I think that's a put-up job. I think that's intentionally misleading, but I digress. Yesterday, on yesterday's National Intel Report, John Stadmiller and Steve Elkins' coverage of the omnibus bill was fantastic. And ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it, we're under direct attack, economic, social, political, etc. We saw the assault on the First and Second Amendment on Saturday and beyond, obviously, and most don't even know we're under attack. We're in dire straits these days. Nur Salman, Omar Mateen's widow, is back in court this week, and it was revealed that Mateen's father, Sadiq Mateen, was an FBI informant. And from 2005, for 11 years, 2005 to 2016, June. So what happened in June 2016? That's a story we'll come back to. Remember Trevor Aronson's TED Talk? But I digress. The Cambridge Analytica backstory is a Corbett Report video that you should watch if you want to see that. And he's referring to his story back last year, Psychographics 101 video that James Corbett did, and FISA Facebook and the End of Privacy that he did back in 2013. It's a great video. And there's more, but for now, we're going to dive into a little getting our thinking cap screwed on straight. If you're ready with that video clip, let's do that, please.
Read the words. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Sure, you need an organized military force to defend your country, but the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is the people, in contrast with the militia. It doesn't say the right of the militia to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It says the right of the people. Now, why the word people? Because the people who wrote this had just fought a war for 2 years against the tyrannical state militia. They knew the time might come when they'd have to do that again. So they made the possession of weapons a right that the militia could never take away.
You can't get rid of guns. You know, that's, you know, so what are the alternatives? You know,
what do we do?
Guns don't go away. It's a Second Amendment right, obviously. It's taking people's right to protect themselves from bad people that would do that. It's not something you can do.
No, I think that you can't start to pick apart any of anything out of the Bill of Rights without thinking that it's all going to become undone. If you take one out or change one law, then why wouldn't they take all your rights away from you?
You carry guns routinely at home? I mean, you have a gun at home?
Yeah, it's legal in the United States. It's part of our Constitution. You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny. Not to hunt.
And do you see any link between that and these sorts of incidents?
No. Nah, not really. You know what I'm saying? If somebody wants to kill people, you know, they don't need a gun to do it.
Makes it easier though, doesn't it?
Not really. You can use you can strap explosives on your body. They do that all the time.
He just equated gun owners to Nazis.
Right? And chihuahuas.
You don't like that? Write it down. We've given you
power. You shouldn't like that.
Are you defending that?
That's offensive.
Are you defending him with guns?
Oh, they're fighting citizens, Nazis?
Doesn't matter why they include. The question is, do we want it? Do we need it now? And is it relevant to
today? Sir. Freedom of religion.
Sir, I'm standing up. I am sat here in heaven here right now, and I would like to agree with the professor. Everyone standing in this room right now, especially the veterans in this room right now, know we are all Americans. The problem with this country right now is it's us. We need to stop this crap. Now, the thing I would like you to answer, sir, and I did go to war for this country. Everyone in here's ability to have oil and gas in their cars or the banks or whatever, I went to war for my country.
Thank you.
And I went to war for your ability to have the First Amendment to say what you stood up there and said today, write what you want to write to your newspaper, and have whatever opinion you want to have. You can practice whatever religious freedoms you want. I would like you to answer the question. Since you just said that one of the rights that I went to war over to defend that is inalienable, every American citizen, if this discussion was going on about your First Amendment rights, would you still have the same opinion that we don't need that anymore either?
You can hear my answer.
I did hear your answer. You said the Second Amendment no longer matters and we might not need it right now.
That's not what I said.
You
question.
You did.
The question is, what were the reasons for the Second Amendment at the time it was adopted? And I said, it doesn't matter what their reasons are. What matters is whether or not it's relevant today. That's the answer.
And it is relevant.
Eternal truth. And eternals are truth.
Relevant in all time.
When they consider any part of the Constitution, any law, they're going to say, what does it mean today?
No.
Let the man speak. The threat of tyranny today is no less than the turn of the century in 1900,
hear
ye, or 1800, or 1700.
My name is Bill Stevens. I live in Newtown. My fifth grade daughter was in lockdown on December 14, 2012. Unfortunately, her classmate's little sister was murdered in Sandy Hook that day when lockdown and 911 weren't enough to protect her from an evil person. Not protect her from an assault rifle or some type of inanimate object, but from an evil person. Quite different from the elaborate security you all enjoy here at the Capitol. It was fun getting frisks on the way in. Section 15 reads very clearly, we all know what the Second Amendment says, but Section 15 in the state constitution says very clearly, every citizen has a right to bear arms in defense of himself and the state. There's no registration, there's no permitting, there's no background checks. It's quite clear. These rights are inalienable and endowed by our creator, not you politicians, to all citizens regardless of gender, race, or creed. In order to limit the rights of individuals, there is something called due process, and legislation is not due process. You want to take my rights away? Let's go to court. My guns are not dangerous. They are at home, locked up, collecting dust and cat hair. But criminals and tyrants Especially, beware, lockdown is not an option at the Stevens residence, and 911 will be dialed after the security of my home has been established. Charlton Heston made the phrase, from my cold dead hands, famous. And I will tell you here today, you will take my ability to protect my Victoria from my cold dead hands.
As I mentioned, I'm not really mad at the guy that did this. And I'm certainly not mad at the guns that did this. They didn't walk in there by themselves and pull their own triggers. The guy that did it was a lunatic. That's like being mad at a rabid dog. I'm mad at my legislators for legislating me out of the right to protect myself and my family. I would much rather be sitting in jail with a felony offense on my head and have my parents alive. As far as these so-called assault weapons, you say that they don't have any defense use. You tell that to the guy that I saw on a videotape of the LA riot, standing up on his rooftop, protecting his property and his life from an entire mob with one of these so-called assault weapons. Tell me that he didn't have a legitimate self-defense use. Just one final statement. I've been sitting here getting more and more fed up with all of this talk about these pieces of machinery having no legitimate sporting purpose, no legitimate hunting purpose. People, that is not the point of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our rights, all of our rights, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
No, not at all.
It is.
Because I was in the Philippines physically the day Ferdinand Marcos declared martial law and made himself a dictator. And the first thing that dictator did, he gave the people of the Philippines 2 weeks to turn in all their guns or it was the death penalty. Now, why would a dictator do that? Why would he make his number one priority when he took over as dictator to disarm the public? The Second Amendment is there, so, and it was put in there not for hunting and fishing, like they like to say, because back when they did it, if you didn't hunt or fish, you didn't eat. It was put in there so the citizens would have the ability, if their government became oppressive, they could defend themselves against oppressive government. And I think that overrules all the gun deaths, because let's remember something. A gun is simply a tool. I have a gun safe at home, and I've never come home and heard those guns going off on their own. People kill people. Police can't stop crimes. Police show up after they're over. Remember that. How many people here think I make crackpot points?
Yeah.
One. How many think I make sensible points? You're in a minority, my good friend. You're the minority.
Do you care about murders, or do you only care about murders with guns?
I care about all deaths.
I don't think you do.
Crime.
I think you care about guns. I think you're obsessed with guns.
No, I'm obsessed.
99.99% of the gun owners of America are wonderful people that you are hanging around with here today. Perfectly safe, perfectly harmless, wonderful, loving, giving, generous, caring people. Would you leave us the hell alone?
What is your response to what the president is trying to do? Which of his proposals do you agree with?
Well, I think I can frame it best by identifying the scammer in chief who claims that just to save one life would be worth this.
Isn't it worth it?
He had a chance to save four American lives in Benghazi and he refused to do so. Now he's sending F-16s to Egypt. So how can you believe this guy? This guy is on record. This president of ours has been voted in by that clueless majority who is so out of touch, they still call magazine clips. They still call personal defense weapons assault weapons.
Mega banks that control the planet and brag that they've taken over in Bloomberg, AP, Reuters, you name it, brag that they're going to get our guns as well. They've taken everybody's guns, but the Swiss and the American people. And when they get our guns, they can have their world tyranny. While the government buys 1.6 billion bullets, armored vehicles, tanks, helicopters, Predator drones, armed, now in U.S. skies, being used to arrest people in North Dakota, the Second Amendment isn't there for duck hunting. It's there to protect us from tyrannical government and street thugs. Take the women in India. Your piece earlier on CNN I was watching during Anderson Cooper's show didn't tell you that the women of India have signed giant petitions to get firearms because the police can't and won't protect them. The answer wait a minute. I have FBI crime statistics that come out a year late, 2011. 20+% crime drop in the last 9 years. Real violent crime, because more guns means less crime. Britain took the guns 15, 16 years ago. Tripling of your overall violent crime. True, we have a higher gun violence level, but overall mugging, stabbings, deaths. Those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns, the iron rods, Pierce, didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
It is the concentration of power among the few, such as what we see in a dictatorship, that leads to corruption and exploitation of the people. When the government wants to force people to do what it wants, it uses guns. This force will only become more aggressive, more tyrannical, and more dangerous if the imbalance of power is swayed in the government's favor through disarmament of the citizens. The crux of the anti-gun movement, you see, is not to disarm the government. It is to selectively disarm private citizens only, therefore granting what is called a monopoly of violence to the government itself. This is openly revealed as the true purpose of gun restrictions and disarmament legislation, to monopolize the use of force into the hands of the government itself, to hold the people of the world in a perpetual state of surrender to those who control the guns, the governments. And when that happens, history has shown that a monopoly of force often ends in mass murder. In just the last century, armed governments possessing a monopoly on gun control have directly killed over a quarter of a billion people on our planet. R.J. Rummel at the University of Hawaii has extensively studied what's called democide, a term describing death by government.
To put democide into perspective, it would take 10 sports stadiums jam-packed with 100,000 people apiece to represent 1 million souls. China, from 1949 to 1987, the Communist Party killed 76-plus million people, and they even admit it. They're proud of it. The USSR, from 1917 to 1987, killed over 61 million people. Combined Western colonialism killed over 50 million people. Germany, under Hitler, from 1933 to 1945, killed more than 20 million people total, including their own population. Japan, during its imperial orgy, from 1936 to 1945, killed 5-plus million people. Before Mao even got into power, from 1923 to 1948, they killed right around 3.5 million. And good old Pol Pot in Cambodia, funded by the U.S. government and Zbigniew Brzezinski, from 1975 to 1979, killed around 30% of his population, 2 million. Turkey, during their genocide of the Armenians, 1.8 million. Vietnam, 1.67 million. Poland, 1.585 million. Pakistan, 1.5 plus million. Yugoslavia under Tito, 1,072,000. And the mega murder just continues. North Korea, 1.663 million. Mexico, 1,417,000. Russia, before the communists even got in, killed over 1 million. And it just goes on and on and on. For a whopping conservative total of 262 million. Government's winning the war against humanity. And let me just be clear. That's governments killing unarmed civilians. That doesn't even count military casualties. If you add those in, it's well over 350 million. So democide, or death by government, is the number one threat because it's already been carried out many, many times. And governments all over the world are engaging in mass murder right now. And our own government, under the National Defense Authorization Act, is openly stating that they will kill U.S. citizens, secretly arrest U.S. citizens, and have us disappear into secret prisons and black holes. So the gauntlet has been thrown down in front of us.
That's a reality check, and those are the facts, regardless of how much they're spun. We need to dive into the subject of color revolution because the silence is deafening. I'll get into that. I intended to hold that off until tomorrow, the subject of color revolution. Who knows? Maybe we'll swap out. I don't know if it's fruitful and productive to continue with my tirade against foolish children and folks who would support foolishness instead of taking it to the woodshed as we used to do. For those who have served in forward combat operations, how many times have we heard about campaigns to win the hearts and minds of the people? Why is this so important? Well, you may recall during this series I have repeatedly, and by the way, again, this is part of the continuation of the murderous proxy series, the U.S. Power Elite, NME, the National Military Establishment, Military Industrial Complex, Information Industrial Complex, Market Security State Death Cult, a.k.a. Masonic Brotherhood of Death. And I guess this is part 10 today. You know, and that includes Barack Obama's cute little Masonic handshake over in Japan. But I digress. Anyway, you may recall that, you know, getting back to winning the hearts and minds of the people, why is this so important? You may recall during this series, I've repeatedly referred back to John Adams' February 13, 1818 letter to Hezekiah Niles as a Rosetta Stone of sorts of the great American experiment. And notably, these words, the revolution was effected before the war commenced. Aha, okay. When the people, when they saw those powers renouncing all the principles of authority and bent upon the destruction of all the securities of their lives, liberties, and properties, they thought it their duty to pray for the Continental Congress and all 13 states, congresses, etc. This radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, and it was effected very quickly. People were galvanized in their resolve very quickly, and John Adams pointed out the fact that this is probably a unique occurrence in all of recorded history. And this is a guy who doesn't say that lightly. Like so many, you know, it's interesting. They didn't have senior fellows or, you know. And what's further interesting, I think, is that you had the Hamiltons who were the wannabes. You know, you had guys like Thomas Jefferson who was, if there was an aristocrat, he could have made that claim, but he... You know, one might argue he acted more like a blue-collar sort of person versus the bastard Alexander Hamilton, who tried to pretend that he was an aristocrat. But among the colonists, you didn't have think tanks. You didn't have senior fellows and, you know, foreign policy experts, so to speak. You had learned men who, many of whom were largely self-educated, you might say. They embarked on their own courses of study, took it upon themselves to study the expanse of recorded history at the time. Today, because of information inflation and the information war campaign that's being conducted as part of a broader warfare campaign for a variety of reasons, propaganda, misdirection, etc., wearing people out, learned helplessness, all that kind of stuff. Today, you can barely get through the headlines, but we should set that aside before we, or I should say until we learn history. Anyway, John Adams talks about the revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, and the revolution was effected before the war commenced. And he kind of gives us some clues. This radical change, by what means, this great and important alteration in the religious, moral, political, and social character of the people of the 13 colonies, all distinct, unconnected, and independent of each other, was begun, pursued, and accomplished. It is surely interesting to humanity to investigate and perpetuate to posterity how, Mr. Adams, to this end, he wrote, it is greatly to be desired that young men, young gentlemen of letters in all the states, especially in the 13 original states, would undertake the laborious but certainly interesting and amusing task of searching and collecting all the records, pamphlets, newspapers, and even handbills, which in any way contributed to change the temper and views of the people and compose them into an independent nation. Today, the same techniques have been, you know, it's been boiled down to a recipe. Gene Sharp is the most notable progenitor of it, and it has been weaponized against the world and against us now. I intended to kind of go back to this subject of these children and the folks that are encouraging this kind of calamitous behavior. Petulant, narcissistic psychopaths. That's what they are. David Hogg, Cameron Caskey, the others. Why on earth would anyone listen to a 15, 16, 17-year-old who just weeks ago was not politically active, is not well-informed, has not studied the breadth of history, does not know, you know, most of these kids don't know, maybe some do, but most are woefully uninformed or underinformed, and you know it, and I know it. The world watches, and you know, maybe I'll come back to this subject of petulant narcissistic psychopaths. Maybe I'll switch today and do that tomorrow. But I think it's important to cover. There are a number of points on that note. You know, Austin Fletcher's video, the TPUSA video, the Cato article, are mass shootings becoming more frequent? No, actually, the data shows us, you know, we've seen more high-profile incidents that have been more highly televised, obviously. But no, mass shootings are not becoming more frequent, not more prevalent, or not more frequent. They get more media coverage. They're more sensationalized, and therefore, you know, the amplification makes it seem like they're more and bigger. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Wasn't it? So we're under attack, and most Americans have no idea what's going on. And it's really kind of ironic because the rest of the world is watching, and the rest of the world sees it. And I dare say a large cross section of the world is saying, "Oh yeah, that they did that here." Americans, you don't know? You can't see? You guys did that here. Political warfare, the Wikipedia entry. Political warfare's coercive nature leads to weakening or destroying an opponent's political, social, or societal will and forcing of a course of action favorable to a state's interest. Political war may be combined with violence, economic pressure, subversion, and diplomacy, but its chief aspect is, quote, to use, the use of words, images, and ideas. Did we see the use of words, images, and ideas on Saturday? Sounds Bernaysian, doesn't it? Sounds Machiavellian, sounds, you know, Alinskyite, sounds like Gene Sharp. So, economic pressure. The Fed just raised interest rates. Donald Trump just signed an omnibus bill that has nothing for you in it. Has nothing for you in it. Really, truly, it has nothing for you, nothing for me in it. We're not defense contractors. We're not part of the bloated DefSec apparatus, which is a large portion of our economy that's on life support. And you may recall, I return every once in a while to Jim Rickard's CNBC interview. What was it, back in 2009, I want to say, I believe. Might even have been earlier than that. It's either 2006 or 2009, where he said, over the next 20 years or so, we're going to see we're dealing with the Triffin dilemma now. Triffin's dilemma. What do you do when you exhaust an economy on a worthless currency, a specious currency like we have? Fractional reserve, it's an oxymoron. There is no reserve, it's all paper. That's circular reasoning. So what do you do when hyperinflation comes knocking at your door? You have the Triffin dilemma. The world that has trafficked in your currency says, and the world keeps doing that. The world keeps saying, you know what? We don't want the petrodollar anymore. And so then the guns come knocking at their door, don't they? And say, oh no, you'll continue to trade in the petrodollar. So what happens when the Triffin dilemma comes knocking at your door, hyperinflation comes knocking at your door? Well, you have to offload the problem to somewhere else. And as Jim Rickards pointed out, at least around 10 years ago, that problem was being offloaded to the IMF. At the time, the IMF was in the process of issuing SDRs, special drawing rights. And the idea was that that would sort of be a transition from the petrodollar. And in the meantime, over the next 20 years or so, that 2020, 2025, something like that, we would see through inflation a cutting in half of our unfunded liabilities to meet those obligations. And have we been seeing that inflation 4 or 5%, something like that, depending on what numbers you look at? We have. And at the same time, people don't understand the omnibus bill. What I'm trying to get at is the omnibus bill that Donald Trump signed is an economic attack on the American people in Keynesian sort of fashion, you might say. Not only will those FRNs that all have debt associated with them, it's basically a loan, not only will that have a deleterious effect, but like I said, none of those FRNs will go in your pocket, essentially. They won't go in your pocket. They won't go in mine, because you're not evil. You're not out trying to create enemies to enrich yourselves, yourself and your cronies. I'm not doing that. You're not doing that. There was that article, what was it, last year, I want to say? The arms industry creating enemies to maximize profits. It's a great article. Francesca DeBarden. It's a great little walk down history lane. So you don't do that. I don't do that. People don't understand. The automotive industry was gutted. Detroit was gutted. What is happening in places like Detroit now? It What keeps our economy on life support? Service? Service sucks. Everywhere you go, everyone acknowledges. Look at the reviews online of anything. Service sucks. Because everyone's pissed off. Because we're at war. There is an internal war happening by infiltrators, intruders in our midst, interlopers, you might say, in our midst, who actually have seized power and control of the so-called government apparatus. If Americans had the kind of moxie that they should and they used to, I would like to believe, then Donald Trump and his administration would probably be carried out run out of town on a rail. The omnibus bill is warfare. It's economic warfare. But that's not unique to the Trump administration. And for that matter, like I've been saying for a long time, you know, Cerberus owns Remington, which is interesting. Back in 2007, Cerberus, from the Bloomberg article, I think yesterday, what was it? The bankruptcy is kind of what I'm talking about. But who is Cerberus? From the Bloomberg article yesterday, Cerberus Remington gunmaker seeks bankruptcy protection. I thought this was a kind of an interesting little excerpt. Remington's fortunes took a hit after the election of Donald Trump, a self-proclaimed true friend, quote-unquote, of the gun industry. Gun enthusiasts traditionally stock up on firearms at times when political winds suggest tighter gun control lies ahead. Barack Obama. Remember what happened during the Obama administration? But Hillary Clinton's defeat erased those fears, leaving retailers stuffed with unsold inventory. So the gun industry, the gun manufacturers take a hit. Remington, founded in 1816, a staple in America. So isn't it ironic? What do I always say? For years I have said every executive administration attacks its constituents. Everyone does. Donald Trump's administration is no different. It's attacking its constituents, arguably in the most virulent attack we've seen in a long time. I'd say worse than Barack Obama, arguably as bad or worse than George Bush, and it just gets worse, and people look back now, you know, Bush wasn't such a bad guy. You know, he likes to paint. He's just a normal guy like you and me. No, he's not. So Donald Trump's administration is attacking its constituents. That's what these guys do. So, again, from the Bloomberg article, gun enthusiasts traditionally stock up on firearms at times when political winds suggest tighter gun control lies ahead. But Hillary Clinton's defeat erased those fears, leaving retailers stuffed with unsold inventory. But wait, it gets worse. Other setbacks have included an aborted public offering in 2011 and an investor revolt after one of its rifles was used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School mass shooting. Yeah, right. The troubles have been a blow to Cerberus, owned by private equity billionaire Steven Feinberg, who has been a prominent Trump supporter. But listen to this. New York-based Cerberus acquired Remington in 2007 and saddled it with almost $1 billion in debt. So, you know, there have been some shufflings and restructuring. But then from the end of the article, you know, the gun industry is suffering. Remember Eric Holder's quote? I have to find the exact quote, but when he said, look, if you know, we can't take guns away from people, we're going to have to propagandize them to believe that guns are bad. And we've been seeing that for the last 50 years or more. Now it's having an impact on the gun retailers. There was the Fox article I mentioned, I think last month, about how gun manufacturers are seeking asylum, you might say, in more friendly cities and states than in these liberal cities and states because of these goofy rules that get passed, kind of like the YouTube channel or the YouTube terms that basically are probably going to delete every gun channel, end up getting rid of these subtle little changes. Should play a clip on that. You know, there is an attack, top, bottom, there is a pincer attack that is, it's a coordinated effort. We are under attack every which way, you know, six ways from Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, we are. And the effort to grab your firearms should terrify everyone. Galvanize your resolve to do whatever it takes. You know, again, the hearts and minds, winning the hearts and minds comes to mind. William in Montana reminded us strategy and tactics are important to consider or reconsider. And I dare say in the throes of color revolution, it's high time those with their heads screwed on straight revisit John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles as a sort of Rosetta Stone to winning the hearts and minds of their fellow countrymen. And it's a diabolical and insidious little Bernaysian trick that's being used on people right now. See, the minds of the the folks in these urban areas have been tricked into believing that guns are bad. That's what they believe. Guns are bad. If they go out and shoot a little bit, they realize Thomas Jefferson was right. Guns are great. And you know what? We could dribble a ball around or throw a ball around. Nothing wrong with that per se, but it, you know, it's kind of hard on the body, like he said, and it stamps no character on the mind. Firearms, on the other hand, they do stamp character on the mind. And, you know, even that has been hijacked. I've mentioned how, you know, this cartoonish, you know, comic book sort of shoot 'em up stuff. And think about the way we've been propagandized. You know, as all of these things happen, we've been marinating in vigilante justice films for decades now. And that's a psyop. That's a setup. In a few different ways, but this effort to vilify gun ownership, unless of course you go fight for the comic book military, which is fun, and you know. That's why a lot of the folks that do that, they seem juvenile. We got to go get the bad guys. You know, if you step back, it's very immature. And there are a number of quotes, so many that it's cliche, that when your last line of defense is violence, that's very immature. Hard power, smart power. Soft power. What's with the power? You know, dominance behavior stuff, which I'm going to get to. You know, Izzy Kalman's work is helpful. It's insightful on this. Dominance behavior. That's another thing we marinate in America, and no one talks about it. Dominance behavior. The bullies tell you that you're not supposed to bully when you're trying to defend yourself. And they're exercising dominance behavior and trying to shut yours down and silence your voice. Silence your voice, First Amendment, so you can't, you know, speak out against it, ask for a petition for a redress of grievances, legitimately. peacefully. And when they press in further, you know, trying to take your Second Amendment right to not First and Second Amendment rights, but the rights enumerated. That's an important distinction. The rights enumerated in the First and Second Amendments. This is what's happening. Can we just be honest about this and stop being gaslighted to death for a minute? Stick around. We'll be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus? For a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You know what I mean? Things need to change in the hearts and minds of the American people. We are under attack. We've been under attack for a long time, but things are... long past time. From that Bloomberg article, the end of the article, another pillar of American gun industry, Colt Holding Company, also took a trip through bankruptcy in 2015. What I'm saying is, man, you know, I mean, truly, we're deep in the throes of color revolution. What happened on Saturday has been referred to as a tipping point. And there is a propaganda aspect to that, I think, but I think there is a sort of legitimate aspect to it too. We have never seen, you know, the establishment in its refining of its propaganda and its efforts, you know, it gets better. You use Sandy Hook and you use little elementary kids, but wait, they're not as articulate as older children. And so you don't want to use college kids because, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but, you know, you can get high school kids. Now that's sort of a good age where we can, you know, they're articulate enough that we can mold them through private, you know, secretive groups like DMLA. We can grab a couple and, you know, make them sort of very look like the very influential folks, even though kids like David Hogg, he's very unstable, you know, a kid on Adderall, very unsure of himself, not articulate before February 14th. Go look at his Twitter feed. And I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm just pointing out the facts. You know, CJ Pearson is much more well-informed and articulate. And again, you know, I think he's 15. People will say, well, you know, do you agree with everything? He's 15 years old. But he has taken it upon himself to be more informed. He was better informed before February 14th than these Parkland kids are now, probably all put together. All they know is the talking points that they're being fed. And speaking of that, have you seen Laura Loomer's video, hidden audio, Broward County teachers caught indoctrinating students, planning illegal march? And I think some of that sort of goes a little further. You know, that's kind of an overstatement. But, you know, it is Debbie Miller talking about things that will kind of make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, I think, should. Make sure your kids have their talking points. Don't let any of the kids go and talk to anyone by themselves. Make sure they have their talking points. What? I mean, sort of, sure, maybe, but the secretive nature of this meeting is sort of weird. Why do we have to do these things in secret? If it's a thing that's great for everyone, why do there have to be secret meetings? She actually says during her 6 minutes that Laura Loomer posted, hey press, thank you for not hearing this. You know? Unbelievable. Second hour coming up right after the short break. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.